He has balls that he controls.
Yeah, here's my terrorist puppy. You don't like it? Don't buy a ticket and go suck a dick.
So I guess you just got to talk through your teeth, right? You just kind of go like this and you...
Yeah, just talk like this.
Tell him, Steve Dave.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Tell Him, Steve Dave. I'm here with, kind of here with BQ.
Hello.
The summer traffic has kept him at bay, so he's zooming in.
Yeah, I got on the road, and it was like an hour and 20 minutes to get what normally takes me a half hour to do. So it was like, I'll zoom today.
Yeah. That's
I forget.
That's every weekend. Yep, that's every weekend around here.
In the summer, it's every weekend, yeah. Because everybody's going to the Jersey Shore for the weekend, and everybody's going back on Sunday. It's just a nightmare.
Well, actually, Walt is here, of course, too. You were drinking. I didn't want to interrupt you, Walt. I thought you were going to do a ventriloquist actually drinking water and still talk.
No. I tried to do that. I tried to learn ventriloquism as a kid. Didn't go well.
Didn't it go well?
No. I have a hard time not moving my lips, which is probably the key factor in being a good ventriloquist.
Why it failed.
That's the main requirement of a ventriloquist, I guess.
Yeah. I always was impressed with guys who could throw their voice like behind a couch or something. Like if they were in the kitchen and they could throw their voice behind and seemingly on the other end of the room.
I've never seen it work. I've only seen that work in movies. And in real life, like I feel like anytime you're watching a ventriloquist or someone like that, you have to kind of be nice to them and pretend you don't see their fucking lips moving. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I've ever seen a ventriloquist that I was like, wow, that guy has nailed it. You always see that.
Careful, Q. The ventriloquist lobby is going to come after us if you go a little too hard on it. I know there's a lot of listeners who are card-carrying members of the ventriloquist union.
I think it's a positive, bud. I think, like, I just haven't seen the right ventriloquist yet. I would be excited by that.
Who are the most famous ones? You got Charlie McCarthy, of course.
Well, the most famous one has been dead for 100 years. And now, can you hear me? Because I sound so weird.
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay. Let me hear
you. You sound normal to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, who's the guy that's got all the puppets? He's pretty popular.
Oh, the guy that Jeff Dunham. Jeff Dunham.
Yeah.
Sunday Jeff. That's maybe his favorite celebrity.
Really?
Yeah, like he has paid paid thousands to see him live in his life.
I get it. I mean, that guy's really funny. The puppets are cool and shit like that. I get it.
Yeah, that's one of the few people that he will pony up his hard-earned cash for.
Wow.
I'm looking at the list of famous ventriloquists. It's not a lot of names I recognize. You got Sherry Lewis, of course. Mm-hmm. And you got Wayland Flowers, Madam. Beyond that?
Sherry who?
Sherry Lewis.
She was with the sock puppet, right?
The Lamb Chop? Yeah.
Yeah, Lamb Chop, yeah.
These are all ancient underground celebrities.
Yeah, like most of their pictures are in black and white.
And when I say underground, I mean literally 6 feet under. Dead. I don't mean underground like they're... You know, the fringe celebrities. These are people that have not made an impact in decades.
I mean, Jeff Dunham is pretty popular, though. He's kind of got the market to himself.
So I guess you just got to talk through your teeth, right? You just kind of go like this and you...
Yeah, just talk like this.
Hey, how are you doing?
Tell him. You can't say tell him, Steve Dave, without touching the two lips together.
Tell us, Steve.
Tell us, Steve. Yeah.
Sounds exactly like me normally.
Tell us, Steve.
I'm also looking at the ages, like you say, Walt, of these people. not many of these ventriloquists have gotten started in the past. Well, in this century, as a matter of fact, you have Darcy Lynn. She's an American ventriloquist and singer, has been credited with the revival of ventriloquism.
Whoa.
Born in Oklahoma, she developed an interest in singing from a young age, but was held back by her shyness before audiences. But now you got Darcy Lane, who's only, 21? 21-year-old ventriloquist? Ventriloquism prodigy, they're calling her.
Whoa, all right. Well, you know what? I'm happy to be wrong. I can't wait to check out her work.
Do you think in 2025 there's just too many things vying? Too many talents out there that overshadow, you know, being able to close your lips and talk?
Kinda.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a problem that just ventriloquism is facing. I think every corner of entertainment, good and bad, is facing that. Everything's so shattered and segmented, you know what I'm saying? That I think everywhere is like pretty much fighting for relevancy at this point.
Yeah. I still think sports, though, they don't suffer the way that, you know, the way the ventriloquism market has dried up. I don't think they're
sure.
I don't think they're feeling the pinch.
Yeah.
I see some of these contracts that athletes get and the poor ventriloquist can't even buy a fucking butter sandwich.
Yeah, that is a good point. You are right about that. But all that means is, and maybe this young lady that Brian is talking about is the person, is like anything could be made cool and successful. Like maybe they just need someone to rise, you know, and show the world just how great modern cutting edge ventriloquism could be.
Is there
any hope for that? No.
is it realistic? And also, a key factor too is you have to be able to do it well and also have good material too. So it's not just like you can rely on your skills with your mouth. You have to be able then to write witty things that your puppet can say. And comedy is tough in this day and age. So you got to be real careful what your puppet says. You can't fall back on, well, I didn't say it, he did.
The puppet said it, yeah. You can't. Those days are gone. Yeah.
The puppet said it. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So you're kind of proving what I'm saying in that, like, it takes way more talent to be a ventriloquist than I think people realize. And if you get someone who masters all of those at once and has a modern sensibility, I bet you that person's selling out Madison Square Garden.
Well, yeah, that person's a superstar.
Yeah, I believe so.
We're just waiting on the next one. We're just waiting for him to come. Much like Jesus.
Jesus, man, the next great ventriloquist.
But like what I'm saying is like the fact that we've dismissed it means that there's someone out there with vision that we can't see who will lift it up. And that's when we'll get surprised. That's when we'll get fucking slobber knockered by ventriloquism. When the art form is redefined in a new way. In a way that, you know, ever since Hidden Camera got reinvented and reinvigorated, you know, you need that. You need someone to come in and change the format and make it something new.
Plucky young upstarts.
I think the young upcoming ventriloquists, the kids who will grow up and get into ventriloquism will just be like, wait a second, I don't have to learn anything. I can just program it into AI and it'll look like my puppet talks. Yeah, fuck that. I'm not going to put all these hours into trying to keep my
10,000 hours.
I'll just use AI. Grok, make my puppet talk. And just film yourself.
Now, I always thought that Jeff Dunham was just the Ahmed the Terrorist guy. He has a whole array of puppets.
He's more than just a incredibly offensive puppet. He's got a whole litany of puppet characters that he trots out.
Yeah, I'm assuming he retired Ahmed sometime ago.
I don't think he did. No, Jeff told me he still brings him out. You know, the crowd goes fucking crazy. You know, the Union Jack, not the Union Jack, what's the flag, the The Southern flag.
Oh, the rebel flag.
Yeah, and they start, sorry, the whole crowd starts breaking out their flags, and Ahmed who takes the stage.
Well, that's the magic of Jeff Dunham. If you don't have a boss, if you don't need advertisers, if you're selling directly to an audience, you don't have to give the fuck about what anybody says. Yeah, here's my terrorist puppy. You don't like it? Don't buy a ticket and go suck a dick. Like, that's the magic of being an independent. Yeah.
I don't know. I still think that he may run into some trouble with theaters if he starts telling everybody to suck his dick.
I don't think so, man.
No?
I think Jeff Dunham is as free as Joe Rogan. They can say and do whatever the fuck they want. And anything you have to say that you don't like about it, go suck a dick. Now, that doesn't mean that I've never heard an episode of Joe Rogan, but like, he is the freest man in America. So Jeff Dunham probably has that freedom through the magic of ventriloquism.
Hmm. Okay. All right. You sold. I mean, you did a complete fucking 360 on this. You know that, right?
I sure did. Indie. He's got indie cred because he has no bosses. I don't know. That goes far with me. Indie cred. He's like the Kevin Smith of ventriloquism. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. Now that you put it in those terms, absolutely. You put it in terms I can understand.
What did we do this week? Well, we went to Tim's wake. Well, me and Walt did.
Yeah. Yeah. I was flying in Monday. I was going to land at the airport, go straight to the wake. And I sat on the tarmac for 2 hours, and then they canceled my flight. So I didn't get home till Tuesday. So I did miss it. I purposely didn't ask you guys during the week how it was because, one, of course, I know. But I figured we'd catch up on the show. Like, what was it? Was the outpouring there for Tim? Did Tim get the love that we know he deserves?
That and more, I thought. It was very well attended.
Great.
It was nice. I guess, you know, as far as services go, I mean, we didn't stay for the actual religious service, but you know, there were a lot of people hanging around, and
yeah,
a lot of, you could tell Tim, you could tell like who are Tim's like friends from his rock days.
Oh yeah.
And that, yeah, like everybody's like old rockers with tattoos and stuff, and
that's cool.
80s haircuts, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What's an 80s haircut?
There was one lady there where like she looked like she was from like maybe one of the Go-Go's. It's like it was like very spiky up top and then spiky on the sides. There was one lady that had a haircut like that, and a lot of like long hair too. Mm-hmm. I would say,
yeah.
But this dude was beloved. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I was really really depressed to miss it, man. I wanted to be there, but I'm glad to hear that, dude. That you know. I was thinking about him a lot over the weekend, man. Like, it's still kind of rattling around up there a lot, you know?
A little bit, yeah.
Tezzy Town came out, though, in force. I mean, everybody
was
there.
Oh, yeah,
everybody was there. Tom, Chuck, Victor, Alex, Gidim, Sunday. Wow. Frank Five drove down, Brian Nichelle.
Ladondo was there.
Ladondo came.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so there were – I mean, I hope I'm not missing anybody. Rub.
Alex was there.
Alex. Yeah, I just don't want to miss anybody. I know that.
So but I was there.
Yeah, I know. If I did, it's because I'm Jimmy the hair guy. Oh, my
and
God.
Michelle.
I said
the one
Michelle.
Guy. Yeah, the one guy who would be fucking crestfallen.
You know the whole –
Did Jimmy throw – he threw himself on the coffin? How'd Jimmy do?
He did fine.
Yeah, he did all right. He was a little upset, but yeah, I think he pulled through. And it's weird too. Like I was telling Walt, like I've known Tim a long time, and mostly our experiences, you know, talking to each other is like about Tom, Steve, Dave shit or music or whatever when I used to drop by Jack's. But I had no idea how integrated into the rock community he was. Like there were like on Facebook, there were like online magazines writing about him, you know, like rock and roll legend. They were calling him. Founding member of Monster Magnet. Like, he really got some accolades.
Oh, good, man.
Yeah, it was nice to see. I'm just watching Get him try to silently eat a Pop-Tart.
He eats his grief.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So I want to see if you want to, if you see the article, send them to me, man. I'd love to read about him.
Yeah, will do.
There was a, you've ever seen like, it was like a montage of photos on a big screen in the room. Like, you ever see that where like at a,
yeah, sure.
At a viewing like that where like different photos will just fade in and out onto the screen.
Yeah.
I don't know where they got it, but there was a photo of me and Tim in our Kiss regalia.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I had to think 99% of that room is just like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, because there's a green screen behind them too, so it looks weird. The picture looks weird. Yeah,
we looked so alien. And like, we didn't look like ourselves because the masks really do an amazing job of making us look like different people. It just blew my mind that I don't even know where they got that photo from.
Yeah, they had quite a few podcast photos.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
But I had to think, like, when that photo is up there, like, the people have to be like, what was
he up to?
Was that Eyes Wide Shut? What the fuck is going on?
Tim was kinky, man. Oh, man.
Yeah, but then, and I guess, like, it was, I don't know, it made me think, too, like, my time to go, I like the presentation of just like a box. Like, you didn't have to look at him and be like, oh, poor Tim.
Yeah.
You know, like they created him and put a nice little box out. A receptacle.
Yeah, I think that's the way to go. I agree. It's weird. It's always been weird looking at those bodies, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You're just like, what's going on here?
Well, Walt had a good point, too. We were talking while we were there about, like, the chit-chat. Like, it's nonstop. People just joking around, talking shit. Like, it's a weird custom to get together, I guess, and not be mournful. But, like, I guess if that's all you had the entire time, could you even get through it?
Yeah. What, not joking and busting balls? Like,
right.
who the fuck wants to go to a wake like that, you know?
Yeah.
No, I meant more so. It's just, I know why human beings do it. You know, it's a mechanism to cope. But the inane chit-chat about shit that, like, is so insignificant for the reason that you're there, just, like, it's just weird. It's like, boy, is this heat ever going to break? Like, who cares? Who the fuck cares if it's hot for the next 100 days or not? It's just, it's weird. But I know why people are doing it, but it is a very strange custom that human beings have put together about, you know, having a large group of people come together for an hour at a building to shake the hands of the and say something to the grieving family. It's just a very strange tradition or ritual. As you, like, as there's a line at the door to, like, go around the giant circle to tell his wife that, you know, how sorry they are for, like, a second. And it's some people she knows, some people she doesn't know.
It sounds like it could be a lot for the widow, for sure.
It seemed like she was handling it well, though.
Yeah.
You know, as far as I could see.
Yeah, you got to put you got 4 hours of glad handing.
Then you can break down later on your own time. Yeah.
Most funerals I've been at have been kind of fun once you get past that first part where you go in and you kneel at the thing, you say your prayer, and then you go in the back of the room and you just start fucking joking around. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. And we've always said, like, from early on, Brian, like, at your funeral, you want your friends fucking ripping on you. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
It just wouldn't feel right if, like, it wasn't present at the
end.
Like,
he wouldn't want it this way.
Yeah.
If it was all serious and shit, yeah.
But how reality, though, how far would you really want it to go, though?
Well, I mean, like, let's say I'm in a coffin. Don't draw a dick on my face or anything, you know, just for my family's sake.
But
you're saying don't do that. Do not do that. Okay.
I was saying I'd hate that.
But if it's not permanent ink, don't it just wipes off like dry erase ink?
Dry erase ink?
Yeah, and it can wipe it off real fast.
I wouldn't be mad. I think it would be funny.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah. What if I slipped like a Playgirl magazine in your coffin? It was his favorite issue. I don't know what to tell you.
He demanded it for the afterlife.
That's the sort of shit we're talking about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't want it to be a completely morose affair. You know, I would want people to have kind of a good time.
Yeah, I agree.
As much of a good time as you can have.
Well, it also depends on how you died. Like, if you died today, it would be like really fucking crazy. But like, if you went at 92, like, you know what I mean? It's a little bit like, holy shit, none of us thought he'd get that far.
Yeah. You busting out the Playgirl issue. Like, finally.
Oh, man. Yeah. Did you see Superman, Walt?
I did.
What'd you think?
Oh, nobody asked me.
Did you go?
I assume.
I saw it on purpose.
Oh.
Because I wanted to be able to speak with you guys about it. Usually I just sit here and listen.
I should wow. not assume.
I'm not doing it for Fantastic Four, though. I saw that trailer.
Everything I see about the Fantastic Four gives me hope.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like, wow, this is – it looks intense. It looks dire. And that's what I need after Superman. What did you think? I'm curious because you're of the three of us – obviously, you dwarf Brian's love for Superman. I think you dwarf my love for Superman. I love the character, but only one of us in the room has a tattoo of the S of the shield. So I would love to know your thoughts on Superman.
Should we say
super spoilers for people who
I guess.
Come on. Why? Yeah. If Brian went to see it, we should talk about it. This motherfucker went to see a movie.
Yeah, I went out of my way.
He made the effort to go see a movie. I'm sorry, listeners, if you haven't seen it yet, we're going to do some super spoilers.
Yeah, if I saw it.
Yeah, there's no way we cannot talk about it. What do you go see the movie for then? You liked it.
Yeah. I liked it. Yeah, I did like it. I liked it quite a bit. I had some quibbles with it. You know, the whole world turning on him and then coming right back over one news story was a little bit like, I don't know if I would have committed to this all the way. But I thought he was a great Superman. I really liked him. I thought the cast across the board was great. Guy Gardner, I loved. I loved the take on Guy Gardner. They nailed Mr. Terrific. I thought, I like the robots. I mean, I really just like the whole fucking movie. Like, I really got into it. You seem like, I see the look on your face. You look like you didn't dig it.
Okay, well, I'll tell you the things I liked. I think the guy who played Superman was able to do something the previous Superman wasn't able to do, which was make him likable. I don't know if the other guy, Henry Cavill.
Cavill.
He was a little bit too intense and too somber. He was almost like a grim Superman. You know, he barely smiled, it felt like, in any of the movies. This Superman was friendly, likable, and
– more human, would you say, than like
– sure, than the previous Superman. Mm-hmm. So I thought he did a great job. I thought the story was a mess.
There were a lot of subplots going on.
Oh, my. I felt like we – and I get it. I know what he was going for, but it really felt like this was part 12 of a 12-part series, and we missed the first 11 episodes.
Oh, really?
I felt like – I went with my daughter, so she doesn't have this – she doesn't have the luxury, the privilege that her father has to have all this knowledge about all these characters. So she's like, what's Mr. Terrific's powers? I'm like, he has balls that he controls. And what, is he a hacker? I was like, yeah. I didn't know what to – I mean, he had powers and shit, but I don't really know what his powers were. I'm kind of aware of him from the JSA, but I was like, they did a really piss-poor job, I thought, of giving us what Mr. Terrific was about. I thought Hawkgirl was it looked like a CW costume.
Hawkgirl was one of the things that I was like, I might have cut her out of the movie. They didn't give her anything to do. I was like, it's not. She was one of the quibbles that I have. I'm like, they didn't really give her anything to do. And that one scene where she's screaming didn't do it for me.
No, that scream would have been cut for me. That was so cringy, that scream.
Yeah. But go to Guy Gardner. You didn't like Guy Gardner.
Yeah, he was fine.
What was with the hair? Was the hair?
It's always been that.
Oh, hair, always been that
haircut,
way.
Ball hair, like a ball haircut from the Stooges.
Right. Yeah.
He's always had it from the late 60s, early 70s, his first appearance in the comics. But the whole pocket universe with a ferryman, an alien ferryman, kind of like you're in hell, but you're not in hell. I thought maybe it was a boom tube at first for Apocalypse, but it wasn't.
That's what I thought. It was a boom tube at first, right?
That prison, just this like Connect Four prison in Limbo just looks so uninspired to me. Like it's just like rooms with that you could see, I don't know, like at least empty rooms with people in them, like almost like a curio cabinet of people. So silly and stupid, I thought.
And like the crimes are like, well, you were a shitty girlfriend, so you're
like, which I can get it. Like he was a vindictive jerk off Lex Luthor, but the dog was awesome. The Superman robots I enjoyed very much. I know it's 2025 and girls gotta fucking get their fucking seat at the table, but Lois Lane flying in a fucking spaceship reminded me of 1980s Flash Gordon vibes.
I was wondering that myself. I was like, how did she suddenly become – like the same thing with The Last Alien.
They
I'm like, how are these people
– They kind of – he's like, the ship is sentient or – what? He's not sentient, right. But like –
he says it's intuitive.
Intuitive. So that was the fix that you could do it. Now she could fly a spaceship badly in it. But
yeah, that didn't bother me at all.
It was just so corny, though. It's just like her, like getting people together on top of the Daily Planet, and she's got to drive it because she's a fucking girl.
she's Lois Lane. I mean, if anybody could do it, I think it's Lois Lane.
So Perry, the fucking guy who ran a fucking newspaper in a world where that nobody needs newspapers, and like he fucking put all that years. He can't be the guy who drives the last fucking. He can't like make the last escape from the Daily Planet before it gets destroyed. It's got to go. It's got to go to his fucking ace reporter.
That never occurred to me. But it's Lois.
I would have liked to have seen more of Perry. I like that guy. He's a good actor.
Yeah, he was great. That look he gave.
He was on The Wire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was really
good. When he figured out that Lois and Superman were banging, that was pretty fucking funny. When he gives him that look, he's like, what's that?
I thought she was good. I thought she did a good job as Lois Lane, though. I just feel like I agree with you. I think the casting was good. I just feel the story was a bit too just convoluted, and it just didn't click for me. It just didn't click for me.
I saw it with a couple of people who had no concept of Superman, like total newbies, and they followed it. I mean, I didn't get that.
Yeah, my daughter liked it. She actually, she was surprised when I said it. She, how'd you like it? I said, I didn't like it. She's like, what? Because I liked it. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, it's like, just because I didn't like it doesn't mean anything. I mean, I have a vision of Superman in my head, and some things they hit and some things they miss. But I don't think –
what did they hit? Give me a positive.
Oh, I thought Crypto was awesome. I thought the – I thought awesome. Finally introducing that lore into the movies was an absolute home run. I'm surprised it took this long to do it because it's so endearing. It's so – so fun. I thought Lex, I don't know if I was that buying his motivations. I know people have been raving about, you know, finally we've got a great Lex, but I don't know. It was okay. I didn't hate it. I was stunned actually at times. I was like, wow, I just didn't think they were going this way. I never once knew where it was going because I was like, it felt at least that much. I was like, it wasn't cookie cutter because there was shit in there. I was like, wow, I'm surprised I'm doing this. But I guess that's good in a way too, though.
The one thing with Lex that I liked Lex, I thought he was great. I maybe wouldn't have made him cry at the end, but I get it. But there was one line when Supergirl came in, and we're getting into spoilers for sure, but like when Superman goes, she goes to other planets to get drunk on their red sun.
Yes.
So she could get drunk. In my head, I was just like, well, the second he said that line, I'm like, wait, so they know, well, they obviously know aliens exist because they know Superman's an alien. So now they're saying that they know that that's widespread, so much so that she could pop over to a planet just to get drunk. And that made me be like, well, then why is Lex so focused on Superman? Wouldn't he be like, oh, there's a universe of aliens out there? You know what I mean? Like, it just felt like.
Yeah. Well, also, yeah. Like, why has he got a man on just for Lex when Hawkgirl, Mr. Terrific, and Guy Gardner are also there flaunting their powers and making every human being look like
human,
an ant?
I guess because they're human.
So if Superman just didn't reveal he was an alien, it would just be like, I got my powers from bitten by a radioactive
bug. Maybe.
And Lex would be like, well, he's still human, and he wouldn't have had this angry. Well, what about Hawkgirl? She's an alien. I guess she didn't reveal it to anybody yet.
They didn't really go into Thangar and stuff like that in the movie. Like, they didn't even mention it, right?
Right. What did you think, Bri?
Oh, Thangar?
Yeah. No, the whole movie in itself.
I felt the same way you did, which was like it was messy. It was a lot of different stuff going on at the same time. I also agree with Q in as much as like I thought that the like turning on Superman was a little bit too quick, and then the pulling him back to their bosom
was
a little fast.
I thought the war thing at the end was just,
well, they're starting to get into lessons.
Yeah, but the war thing felt like it was just so unrealistic in terms of like how wars are fought, in terms of where like there's like a mass group of people and they bring their kids with them to the front line.
I noticed that. Some are holding kids with them in their arms.
Let's stop these tanks. Let's bring Junior and all the infants too.
Yeah, I got a club in my kid.
Well, they thought Superman was going to show up.
That's true. Okay, yeah. I still think it's negligent on the parents, though, to rely on Superman showing up just in time. So, because that's kind of bad parenting to
assume
that Supes is going to show up to save the day. But
you didn't love when like I liked the reveal that Lex was like, no, I didn't start a war to become a king. Like, I started all that just to fucking get you to come at me. Like, I thought that was like a good Lex Luthor beat where he's thinking like five steps ahead, starting wars just to get Superman involved in his mechanisms. I don't know. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, as long as he can sick his clone of Superman on him, I think he'll engage Superman regardless without, you know, doing all that war stuff too. As long as he sends out somebody with the powers of that clone to start destroying Metropolis, yeah, Superman's going to show up. So it's kind of, again, it's kind of clunky, the whole Middle East inclusion of that whole subplot of like, we're all going to get to own a piece of the Middle East, Luthor was like.
Yeah, but it was all bullshit. It was all bullshit just to get Superman to interfere in international affairs.
He was trying to force Superman to make a move that the world would frown upon.
That's what he said. He said that specifically. He's like, I started the war. He goes, you think I started the war to fucking blah, blah, blah? He goes, no, I started it just to have you get involved.
Okay. I might have missed that.
Yeah, I thought that was cool. It is. I did think when he had a Superman clone, I'm like, well, if you have a Superman clone that looks just like Superman, you can have him go out and do bad shit and nobody will fucking think that it's a clone.
Yeah. I tell you, by an hour and a half in, I was like, I wish this dog was in the whole movie the whole time, and maybe the rest of the cast. I would just watch the Krypto movie. I would just watch the crypto movie. I don't need anybody and all this other nonsense that's going on.
Oh, wow. I liked him. I thought he was a good time. I just had fun watching it. Like, I was into it. I was, like, just getting excited. I did say afterwards, I was like, I want to see it one more time to lock in, because when your head starts going to, like, oh, if he's got a clone, why is he doing this? Da, 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 da. Like, I want to see it again with those in it.
Right.
But I had a blast. I just had – there was no part in it that I was, like, not happy to be in that theater watching the movie.
Yeah, the whole it feels at times like the story is a blur and the visuals are a blur, like a bright blur. Like there's just this weird brightness about it, that it doesn't have that classic kind of cinema look. Mm-hmm. I don't know why.
It was like
I can't
a video game
it.
Almost more.
I can't
than a
describe
movie.
It, but it didn't. It,
or a
it,
comic book.
It feels like more like a like this like. A modern, what's it called when you put something over an image? Like it's
a filter?
Yes, like this kind of modern filter that where it doesn't look like movies of the past anymore. It's hard for me to describe. I'm not putting it properly into words, though. But it's just a brightness about it that is. I wonder if it's even done on purpose with some sort of like feedback from like computer watching and like and things of monitoring computer screens and stuff.
Yeah, I would assume that's a choice, man. I don't think anything you saw on screen was by accident. He's probably trying to counter how dark Man of Steel was, and
trying
to make it look poppy and a little bit more like a comic book.
I do agree with you though that I think that you needed a direct 180 from the previous Superman movies, which were kind of somber and too realistic, maybe, but. So I agree. I would have agreed with that with that direction. You know, if I was him too, of going in a different direction than the previous Superman movies.
Metamorpho? You didn't like Metamorpho?
I thought he looked awesome. I think his powers are cool. I think it's again. I think you're just. And I get it because I don't want to like watch. A movie where we're going to get the origins of Mr. Terrific, Metamorpho, Hawkgirl, Guy Gardner. That just weighs the movies down as they have in the past when you introduce a whole bunch of characters. But I wonder if the audience is like, who is this guy? Where did he come from? And where was he? And how did he become Lex Luthor's prisoner? And who's that girl that like he has a baby? And well, it's just, you know, it's just a lot.
None of that threw me at all. I just rolled with that.
We have the advantage of knowing who Rex is. We have the advantage of knowing his all that stuff. We can't unknow it. So we go into it with a leg up on people, I think, too.
Yeah, like I didn't know any of that.
Right.
Metamorpho stuff. Yeah, I didn't know any of it.
Poor Brian Johnson.
I know. I'm
lost
there.
Wandering around in a movie theater, not knowing what the fuck's going around.
Asking random people, like, do you know what's going on?
The information provided was like, I thought the information provided was like, look, this guy, Lex is like, this guy could change his chemical composition. I turned him into kryptonite. The guy's like, I got a kid over there, which is why I'm doing this. I mean, all that information was in there. I don't know that.
Maybe it's just a bad period right now where I'm like, I wasn't going to like anything right now.
No, I mean, I wouldn't make excuses for you not loving it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you just didn't dig it as much.
I might have dug it in it if I'd saw it at a different point, though. But I just saw it kind of like, and I was, again, it looks fine, but it's, to me, the story was a little bit too much going on for, you know, and again, I just feel like, if I just seen the dog for an hour and a half, I would have been fine.
The dog, that was my favorite line in the movie, was about the dog when Lois is like, you're going to turn yourself in for a dog.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, not even a very good dog, but he's alone and he's scared. Yep. I was like, that's fucking Superman. Yep. You know what I mean? Like that's fucking Superman right there.
That was a great moment. I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. If the whole movie was about crypto.
Yeah. What did you think about the take on the parents? Because I loved it. I love that they were that the fucking slow.
The Krypton.
No.
Krypton parents?
Human parents. Martha and John.
Oh, okay. I'll let Brian go.
I mean, I thought they were okay. They were a couple old people. You know? Well, they're actually much older than I thought they were going
to
be.
They didn't really do much differently than you did. Like, they kind of were right out of the comic book mold of his Kansas parents, right?
Yeah, I thought right? that the leaning all the way into that Kansas accent was pretty fucking crazy. I love that, like how they spoke so slow and so, yeah, all right. And
I like that really, they lived. It really was big. They went big with that.
Yeah, I like that they lived in a ranch house, not like a big old fucking farmhouse. I was like, holy shit, Superman grew up in a little small house with a wood paneling bedroom. I was like, that's kind of cool. You know what I mean? I liked all that take on it.
I do think it was a stroke of genius, though, to have the motivation of his Kryptonian parents to be that he would be a conqueror and to put his seed into every woman that he could find. I thought that was so sinister, so dark, and a really clever twist on the mythos of Jor-El. And what's his mom's name?
Lar-El?
Lar-El. Yeah. I thought that was that was a great twist of the, twist on it to make it put everything on its head, basically, from what we've seen in the comics and what we've seen in previous movies. I thought that was well done and very dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it, though. Yeah.
I liked it. I liked it. I mean, I've seen that in the comic book. That's happened once or twice in like Elseworlds and stuff. I did like it. I was like, oh, that's cool. They make Jor-El a fucking son of a bitch.
Now, let's say you were the benefit of being saved by Superman. Maybe even not directly, maybe indirectly by, you know, there was something was happening and Superman showed up and saved your city. Yeah. Would that tape be enough for you to be like, I'm fucking throwing tomato soup cans at Superman when he walks by? I'm so mad at him now because of that video.
No, that was the stuff I had the big problem. Because one, it was also like basically the plot of Man of Steel too. Like they turned against him. Lex Luthor blew up the fucking Capitol building. They blamed Superman. You know what I mean? Like it was kind of like – and I, you know, that was the part of the movie that I was like, I was like, I don't really need to see the world turning on him. But I didn't hate it. You know?
No.
And I thought it was a little quick.
So is this the best Superman movie that's ever been made, or is it still 78 and
– I think it's still – Superman 2? It's still
Donner, which is shocking, right? In a world where you can do anything. And these guys were struggling, the OGs.
Yeah.
That – like Donner were struggling to make – you feel like, well, you'll believe a man can fly, but you're like, not really. Still doesn't look like he's flying, but the shit's so good, I don't care. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, Rich. Yeah, he looks like he's flying. Okay.
And let's not forget that, you know, Superman, as much as we all love that movie, like, has that weird Lois Lane poem in the middle of it that if they dropped that into this movie, you'd be like, what the fuck? What is this?
But it is a testament then to those cats.
Yeah.
They were basically making movies with fucking sticks and stones compared to what they're making movies with now. And it still holds up as the best version of Superman we've ever seen. Yeah. Those guys, those cats, you know, can sit back and fucking smoke a victory fucking cigar and again.
Yeah.
Because in 2025, they tried it again and it's still not better than that one. That's fucking amazing when you think about, because with all the technology you have now, with all the things you can do.
The number of years you had to come up with a story, a script.
It's still fucked up that's still the case.
I liked in this new one, it was very brief, but when I think it was Lex talking about flooding the internet with comments or something that had all the monkeys screaming, like the social media nod that they did.
That made me laugh.
That made me laugh too. I went home and I was like, I told Mary Beth, I was like, this is the same guy who did Guardians of the Galaxy. We should watch that. Cause I remembered liking it. I went back and watched it. I'm like, I don't know who any of these people are. I don't know what's going on.
But you saw it already?
I had seen it. I saw it in theaters. I saw it in theaters, and I was like, what the fuck is going on in this movie? I don't know any of these characters. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, but if you watch the movie.
I'm singing it to Mary Beth. I'm like, it's a great movie because I remembered liking it. But maybe it was the third one I liked or something, or the second one.
Yeah.
That's funny. I love those movies.
I didn't know what
was going on. Do you think there's maybe a case that maybe Lex Luthor just isn't the proper villain for a Superman movie? Do you think maybe there's the case to be made that it just doesn't work? It's just, okay, we have to swallow that he can do anything and he has all these abilities. It's just too much to think that just some smart dude is a worthy enough adversary for us to sit down for 2 hours and watch a movie.
I don't agree with that. I think, one, I like this take on Lex, but maybe you would like a little bit more of like the mad scientist Lex, where he's like coming up with stuff to defeat him in his workshop or something like that. Like that pudgy bald one that was running around for a little, you remember that? Like,
yeah.
Maybe that's the Lex you need on film. You know?
I don't know. Maybe we just need to see a movie that Lex isn't the guy that's Superman's taking down. It just feels like it's hard to make him a worthy adversary in a world where this guy can do anything, you know?
Well, it's funny because, like, he's only an adversary. The thing about Lex, right, is, like, the only way – because, right, Superman could burn him up in a second, right? Like, there's no – if Superman wants Lex dead, Lex is dead. Which means that Lex is relying on Superman to be a good enough person not to kill him while he's doing all this shit, which to me is like even makes Lex more of a fucking dickhead because he's like, no, I know he's a good person. I know he's a good alien, but I don't like that he fucking hovers 10 feet above me and I'm going to fucking get him. I don't know. I like that. I kind of like.
What'd you think of the engineer?
The engineer, I would say good start. It didn't feel like the engineer from the comic. The effects look cool. I don't know why he made her a bad guy. But I liked the character in the comics and she looked a little bit matched. It just didn't feel like the engineer from the Authority.
No.
A little bit for me. But I liked
robot
it. I
thought
she
did thing?
A good job. She was a girl. Yeah. Remember mm-hmm. the bad girl?
Yeah.
Her hands can turn to like saw blades mm-hmm. and shit.
Yeah. But I liked it. I liked her. I thought she did a good
just
job.
Think you think that, that you'll see an Authority movie at some point then?
Oh, I hope so. That would be awesome.
Yeah. What about a Supergirl movie?
Oh, I can't wait. Look, man, this is like – I love that little fucking take with her that they did in it. And like people I know who liked the movie are like, I didn't like the Supergirl bit. And I'm like, I fuck it. I'm like a drunk fucking hot Supergirl coming through the door dressed in this skirt, like playing with a dog. I'm like, what the fuck don't you like about that? I'm like, I don't get it.
The one thing that I will say for me, it was the exit with like, bitch – it's just too commonplace.
Yeah,
these
that
days.
Was. I could see people not liking that. But she was drunk.
That's true.
Yeah?
Why didn't he call her back though?
Hey, just smiling. Who's gonna hurt Supergirl?
No. Why didn't he call her back? Why didn't Superman like call upon her? It's like shit's going down. It's getting bad. I need some help.
I guess because she was hammered on another planet somewhere. Maybe didn't know where she was. Mm.
Is that a character thing through the comics with her that she's a drunk or
no? No. She's like the girl next door. Sometimes I don't know what the Peter David.
Well,
one
the
was.
Tom King run that they're making the movie based on is like she's a little bit more worldly and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So I think he's going off that. Did you catch or did you think that was a Mixelplix cameo? Did you catch that little thing?
I did. Whoa, where?
So when Lois and Superman are sitting by that window having that conversation and they're fighting, the Justice Gang is fighting.
Oh, they look like an amoeba? Yeah.
He goes, Lois is like, do they need you out there? And he's like, nah, it's just an imp from the fifth dimension. They got this. And I was like, oh, that's fucking Mixelplix. Cool. Oh. They got him in the movie.
I couldn't, you know what? It was hard for me to hear the word imp. And, you know, I kind of missed that he said imp, but I thought it looked like a big amoeba.
Yeah, no, he said imp from the fifth dimension, which I was okay. like,
yeah,
oh,
so
it would have been.
Yeah, it's definitely a Mixelplix.
It's either him or Batmite, and Batmite doesn't make sense, yeah, no. You know? So, yeah, I was like that he got that in, even though it wasn't like a little old midget in a fucking bowler cap or whatever the hell they're going to make him.
Do you want to see the Matt Reeves Batman come into this universe, and or would you prefer that they stay away and don't mix a Batman with Superman going forward? Just keep them separate? Or would you like to see them?
I like Robert Pattinson as Batman. You know,
Why did I say Matt Reeves?
No, he directed it.
Oh, okay.
Did he direct it? Yeah.
Okay.
I liked him as Batman. I thought he was, you know, he looks the part. He looks great. I didn't love the Batman like everybody else did.
It was weird because I liked the Batman too. Yeah. I enjoyed that one. Yeah.
Yeah. But I rewatched it after we talked about it, and I liked it more. Certainly after I watched The Penguin and then went back and watched the movie. But my initial reaction to Batman is I think, kind of stands for the most part.
So you would want to see Batman come into Superman's world or keep him?
No, I think he could pull it off. I think if they were going to do that, I wouldn't be like, oh, they're going to fucking ruin it, because I'm assuming that it would adapt to Superman's style a little bit more than the other direction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but aren't they doing like a Batman and Robin movie? So I don't even know if Robin would fit in that world anyway. I think you do kind of need like a Batman that matches this version of Superman a little bit more, especially if he's going to have a Robin.
Ooh, that's going to be a much different Batman than we've seen in quite some time then. If we're going to match this world and this kind of mentality and light-heartedness of the Superman movie, yeah, that's going to be something that moviegoers have not seen in quite some time, a Batman that's going to fit into this world.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that, though. Yeah. I'd love to see that.
It's time. Cool. Why not? We've seen the fucking bleak, somber, grim Batman now for seemingly decades. Let's see the other side of the fucking pillow.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited by it, man. Yeah, I don't know. I liked it. Most people I know like it. But Brian, what's your ultimate takeaway at the end? Like, what would you grade it?
I mean, I walked away being like, it was all right.
Yeah.
Like, probably, for story, I would have to give it a C because it was difficult to follow. There was so much going on. Visuals, I'd give it an A. It looked pretty amazing. My walk away with it was like, I'll probably never watch that again.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, overall, what was it? A C?
I would say probably a B.
B. Wow, that's
pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
can see why people would like it. I can see why people would dig it. But again, like you guys have that advantage of going in, you're like, I know who every single one of these motherfuckers is. Whereas like somebody like me or Mary Beth or whatever, like, you know, you go in there and you're like, okay. Like that's why sometimes like the little bit of backstory is good. You know, or like, I know that you can't do an origin story for every movie, but it is good if they just give you a little bit. Because like you say, like Mr. Terrific, I'm like, I don't know what his deal is.
I thought they nailed Terrific. I loved it. The costume looked fucking amazing. Like the
he looked great.
On the sleeve.
Yeah, he looked really good.
His performance was good. I got what he was going for. I guess if you're saying like, did they ever expressly say he's just a genius who has mastery over all this stuff? I guess they didn't say that, right?
Well, maybe they did, though. But
yeah,
it's possible they did. There's a lot. They threw a lot at you.
Yeah, there's a lot of introductions.
There's a lot of things, and they threw it at you in dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So if you're if you have a thought in your head, even for a second, like of something else other than the movie, you might miss something.
Sure.
Yeah, that's probably what happened with me. Is to say, at times my brain would drift from what I was watching, and maybe that's why I missed some of the things that were on screen, to some of the explanations.
Right. There was a moment that in the movie that I was like, oh, Brian's going to love this. And I'm just curious if you even clocked it, Brian, because sometimes when I watch movies, I think about shit, oh, Brian's going to like that. When she is walking out of the Hall of Justice and she fucking makes fun of Guy Gardner's hair. Yeah. And he gets up and he goes, what? What the what? Yeah. Yeah. And then it becomes very clear that he heard exactly what he what she said. Because he goes, my hair, my hair. I was like, oh, that's so fucking funny, bro.
Yeah, I did think it was interesting. That. Somebody called attention to it because I didn't know that that was an ongoing thing like his bad hair did.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you like the Hall of Justice?
I thought it was great, man. Like straight from the fucking comic and shit like that. It looked cool.
I thought it was straight from the cartoon, Super Friends.
Oh, I guess that's what I meant. Yeah, like the old one. That's what I meant. But even the comic book started
using it
that,
too. Yeah.
Yeah, started adopting that style. Again, like I just wish they'd either given Hawkgirl a little more to do or cut Hawkgirl out completely.
Because
she just flew in that one circle and I was like, you know, it could have been at some point you get like, well, we got to start giving some time back to Superman.
I did think the same thing that I always think in these movies where I'm like, I look at Metropolis and I'm like, who the fuck lives here? Like, but building rifts, buildings going down like dominoes, kaiju all over the place. Like,
it seems
not safe. And I was surprised they killed somebody. I thought it was going to be one of those movies where nobody
died.
That
was fucking nuts. Yeah. When they blew that guy right in the fucking head, I was like, whoa, it felt tonally out of the movie a little
bit. Yeah, it really did. I didn't expect it.
Well, they also killed, Hawkgirl killed somebody too.
That I didn't mind. I was like, okay, like I guess that's where they're going with her because that's it. But Lex doing it, I was like, wow, that seems like Lex, not smart enough for Lex. Like now he's got to find somebody else to bring in. It's a second bullet. Like Lex doesn't fuck it. You know what I mean? Like do it so he doesn't have to go through all this for nothing. I was surprised that they did that they blew that guy's head out in front of Superman.
Yeah.
That was pretty crazy. But I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to going to see it in IMAX. I want to see it like on the big, big screen. I didn't get to do that.
How do you think they also were able to get Crypto to drill? Like, didn't they have things coming out of his head? Didn't they have?
I think he had a helmet on.
Was it a helmet?
He just had a helmet on and his eyes were like held open by things, right? He was looking at the squirrels and shit.
Okay. I thought maybe they had put like some sort of, they had surgically did something to his head, it looked like.
I don't think so. But I even loved like the line where he's like, Crypto, get the toy. And then Crypto just goes fucking nuts on it. You're right. Everything with Crypto was fucking awesome. It was like straight up awesome.
Yeah. It's a great, great move on his part to finally introduce those aspects of the continuity and the rich Superman lore. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it would be like, for me, it was like a 5 though.
5 out of 10. All right.
Yeah. Just kind of like, I appreciate the effort to create something so different from any Superman movie we've ever seen. But just some things just did not click for me. But style wise, man, the fucking Metamorpho looked amazing.
Yeah, it looked great.
I mean, like, it's too bad, like, he just can't hold his own movie, though. And they did what Marvel did, which was like introduce these characters in movies, then bring them all together. Which
right,
I don't feel DC has that same kind of confidence in their movies or they're going to sink in, you know, $150 million to make a solo Metamorpho movie.
Probably not. But he's joining – it seemed like he was joining the Justice League at the end though, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe he'll be around. And that character is that – you know who that – you know who the actor who played Metamorpho is? It's – did you watch Barry, Brian?
Yeah. It's, oh, yeah. No, he's that the bald Hank. Hank. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's fucking Hank. Cool. No ho Hank. All right. Well, I had a feeling. I did have a feeling when I was watching it, Walt, that your review was going to come in somewhere around here.
Yeah.
I did. As I was watching it, I was like, you know, just like I was watching with Brian, knowing that you're going to like that haircut scene. I had a feeling this was kind of going to be your issues with it.
But
which I completely understand, man. But I'm just telling you, I was so happy in that theater watching Superman fucking fly around and be a really good guy. And, you know, I know that, like just, you know, he felt like Superman to me, which I love. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. So saying the actor did come off as completely pure of heart.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, this is maybe the purest of heart Superman since Christopher Reeve.
Yeah.
And if maybe more so than Christopher Reeve, even. Christopher Reeve kind of had to play a little bit of Superman with a little bit of a bit of spite. You know, he did go back. Remember,
he went back to that diner.
That diner.
That's awesome that he did it, though.
Right?
It's fucking awesome. He puts him through the pinball machine. Yeah. Like that.
Yeah. I don't think this current 2025 Superman, I think he's so good of heart, he wouldn't even do that.
He's not petty enough to fly to fucking Alaska or wherever the fuck that diner was and start shit all over again. I mean, think about that. Like, right? Like, he flew there and he's waiting over the diner till that guy sat down and he's like, oh, fuck, he's here. I'm going to get him. Yeah. It was awesome. It's great.
But Fantastic Four is now, I'm pinning all my hopes. And that last little bit of teaser we got, man, was so gripped me with the, you know, where he's doing the press conference read and they're like,
yeah,
what did Galactus say? He's like, we couldn't come to terms with Galactus. He goes, well, what were the terms? He's like, he wanted our child, which was not negotiable. And to me, that's like, oh, that's cool. I'm really intrigued now. Yeah. I really want to see this movie bad. And I'm hoping that it is the summer flick for me, the comic book summer flick for me.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm excited to see it. Nothing I've seen so far has put me off of
nothing.
It at all.
Yeah, me you know, I agree.
The female Silver Surfer was like, come on, man, what are you guys doing? Until I saw her in action, and I'm like, oh, I guess who gives a shit?
Yeah,
like, she seems
I
creepy and cool.
Yeah. She looks like she, even the small snippets we've seen, she does look good, though, so be it. Like you said, I think she's a out of continuity or a different world and alternate world Silver Surfer. So
yeah.
So maybe we'll see a Norrin Rad Silver Surfer the next time we see a Marvel movie. I guess Secret Wars. Maybe in Secret Wars we'll see a Norrin Rad.
That'd be fucking cool. I thought he even looked good in the one that they made 15, 20 years ago, like Rise of the Silver Surfer. I thought he looked pretty cool.
He looked like living chrome.
Yeah, it was dope, man. I don't know. I it's a good time, man. I'm excited to see where James Gunn goes with this shit next. I'm excited for Peacemaker season 2 starts up soon. I love that first season, man. I think it's so great. It's just I'm declaring it. it's a good time to be a comic book fan again. It feels like we're getting back to good stuff.
Your nerdgasm.
Fucking nerdgasm
popping off, bro.
Yeah.
Even at our advanced age, you still popping nerdgasms, huh? That's great.
It's one thing you don't need blue chew.
You don't need that. You know,
I don't need no nerd blue chew.
That's awesome that you still can. You know,
can
pop off for, you know.
I even saved the ticket stub from Superman. I can't tell you the last time I did that.
Wow.
I put it on the fridge with a magnet.
That is fucking, that is so nerdy. It's fucking wholesome and pure.
I loved it.
Yeah.
This sounds like you're calling me gay. I don't know why, but it sure does.
There was no reels. And even Kat doesn't get she gets no setup or Steve Lombardi.
Yeah, those were, I felt, Easter eggs for guys like me and you.
Yeah,
like,
just not
we're not going to tell you.
There's just not enough time. Yeah.
Look, she's in a fucking, she's got big blonde hair. She's got big fake tits. She's in a dress. You know it's Cat Grant if you know who she is. If you don't, then I don't have to tell you. That's it.
It should not hurt your ability to enjoy the movie if you don't know who Cat Grant is.
Right. And I was surprised they gave Steve Lombard as much time as they did.
I
was like, all right, they're really in love with this character.
And I thought Lois, you know, other than flying a spaceship, I thought she was fine and to her whatever she was given to, you know, the lifting she was able to do. I thought she did a good job too.
Yeah, I thought she did a good job. And I liked when she was yelling at the Justice League, being like, this is your fucking friend, assholes. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to fucking leave him in there? And I was like, this is awesome. Like, that's cool. You know, she's going to them for help and she's telling them why they're assholes. I just dug it.
But, you know, you did see the nod to the modern audience where he was like, Superman comes out of the pocket universe and he's like, Lois, you came to rescue me. Because for fucking 100 years prior, Superman had to rescue her. Okay, we get it. You're a modern day fucking filmmaker.
But something
lessons.
About
I knew there was some in there.
I agree with you normally. There's something about Lois Lane for me that excuses that a little bit.
Okay, yeah, I know.
Like if Vicki Vale was running around doing it, I'd be like, come on, man.
I like my Lois tied up on a fucking train track. That's my mom. That's the Lois I grew up with. Yeah.
General Sam Lane's daughter, bro. She knows how to kick ass.
And who was the flag guy? Was that setting up Suicide Squad stuff? Remember the flag, the general flag?
Oh, yeah. He's that's Rick Flag Sr. His father was the that character already appeared in the Creature Commandos cartoon, voiced by the same actor.
So the Suicide Squad.
It happened. Yeah, his son got killed by Peacemaker.
But wait a minute though. So if Peacemaker's in Suicide Squad, that means all those characters exist in this universe too. Then,
yes. So far, yeah.
So Harley Quinn exists.
I would say I'm sure there's going to be some explanation in the second season of Peacemaker to make it line up.
Okay.
Because they were already doing a multiverse thing in the commercial for Peacemaker.
Okay. Okay.
So I bet you they're going to find a way to line it up. Because but he plays – what?
I was going to say because we already met a Flag in Suicide Squad. Remember Flag?
This is his father.
That's his father. Okay.
Yeah. Peacemaker killed his son. He mentions that in the Creature Commandos cartoon.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So he's doing that thing where if somebody voices that, like they want the actors to do the voices in the cartoon so they could have all the continuity mix over and stuff like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So there was that. His hair was white in the cartoon and not in the movie, which I was like, oh, maybe that's a sign that it's another universe or something, but I don't know.
Are there too many universes?
I mean, I'm ready to be done with the multiverse. Walt, think about how when we own the multiverse, right? Remember those days when nobody knew what the fuck the idea of the multiverse was?
I miss those
days. And we did. What's that?
I miss those days.
I miss those fucking days. Like, what happened? They came along, they took one of our toys, and they fucking abused it into the ground so they could give us 50 versions of Spider-Man. It's like, guys, fucking fuck you guys. Like, does nobody care about these characters enough to fucking not make 100 versions of them? No. Remember when Peter Parker was special? Marvel doesn't.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry. I wish the multiverse would go away for a little bit, though, yeah.
We got other things to talk about, Q.
Blue Chew?
No, not Blue Chew, but Ridge. The Ridge Wallet.
Ridge. Oh, I got that. Yes.
I love it. I've had it long before they were a sponsor. I got mine probably 6 or 7 years ago. They sent me a new one, Blood Red. Maroonish.
Blood Red.
Yeah. They want a story about a wallet I had before Ridge. Was it a giant, crusty leather brick that was falling apart? I remember I had a Velcro wallet, an OP Velcro wallet for a while.
I still have mine from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It's got Pac-Man on the side.
Ridge is a unique, slim, modern design that holds up to 12 cards plus cash, made with premium materials like aluminum, titanium, and carbon fiber, and has over 50 colors and styles to choose from. All Ridge products have a lifetime warranty. This is literally the last wallet you'll ever have to buy. Gives you peace of mind knowing that all Ridge wallets have RFID blocking technology, keeping you safe from digital pickpocketers. Think you've ever been digitally pickpocketed? You walk around in the city, so you know it's more likely to happen to you.
I'm like kind of an analog guy. It'd be hard to digitally pickpocket me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, if you got your Ridge, you're safe.
Nice.
And losing your wallet is the worst, but with the Ridge AirTag attachment, you'll always know exactly where your wallet is before panic mode kicks in. Well, not necessarily, because if it's not where you want it to be, you're probably going to panic.
Yeah.
Ridge isn't just about wallets. They create premium everyday essentials like key cases, suitcases, and rings, all built with the same sleek and durable design. No matter what you pick, Ridge has free shipping, a 99-day risk-free trial, and a lifetime warranty on all their products. 99 days. That's silly.
It's almost 100.
With warranties, yeah.
Yeah.
For a limited time, listeners get 10% off at Ridge by using code TESD at checkout. Just head to ridge.com and use code TESD and you're all set. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support Tell 'em Steve Dave and tell them that our show sent you. All right.
I had a Spider-Man wallet once. It wasn't a Ridge wallet.
No.
And I remember I had birthday money in it and I left it at a store. And I probably was the most unconsolable as I've ever been in my life, as I realized my wallet and my 10 bucks in birthday money was gone. That horrible realization that both were gone.
That's why you need one of those AirTag attachments.
Yeah, I mean, it was 1975. I don't know if any AirTag would have helped in that situation. But boy, I remember that took a long time to get over. Yeah, there was thoughts of like just ending it. Mm-hmm. Even at that age, I was like, there's no point living. I've lost the wallet.
Supposed to go on now?
Birthday money.
$10 gone, wallet gone.
$10 in that gets you a lot of shit.
That was like
shit.
$50 yeah. back then.
Oh, yeah. That fucking – whew. That's still raw when I think of it now. That wound still hasn't really fully healed.
And you wonder who found it, who threw your wallet away after taking the $10 out.
Yeah, I remember
– Son of a fucking bitch.
Yeah, I wish I had any thought of that.
Walt, I wanted to give you a little piece of advice mm-hmm. before we go.
Yes.
If you bring your side piece to a Coldplay concert.
I saw this. Yeah, I saw this.
Do not hug them. Keep at a decent remove. Otherwise, you're going to get busted.
I saw this. Somebody made the comment, and it's so true, is that – well, go ahead. Explain it, though, before.
Okay. So there was a Coldplay concert, and they have a kiss cam just like they have in some of the sports arenas. And they focused on a guy who was – a woman who was standing in front of a guy, and he had his arms wrapped around her.
Canoodling.
So they were they were both facing the same way. They're both facing towards the stage. And the kiss cam goes up, and the look of shock that registers on their faces is priceless. Like you couldn't – like Meryl Streep couldn't have had that look. I don't think if they told her she had to look scared from getting caught cheating. And she like – I guess in that moment, you're like, maybe I'm faster than the camera. And she tries to like cover her face up and the guy ducks away.
Yeah, but somebody made a comment. So I was like, oh, yeah, they're like, if they had just played it cool, because to my knowledge, this wasn't being broadcast on television or anything, right?
No.
So if they didn't bring attention to themselves acting so guilty, they would have, nobody would have even noticed it. And it never would have made the internet. But the fact that they acted the way they did as if they were, like the entire planet was watching them.
And they are now.
Yeah, that's the takeaway is that like if you had just played it Joe Cool and not acted as if you had your hand in a cookie jar, Coldplay never would have mentioned it. They wouldn't have commented on it. It would have went on to somebody else and nobody would have ever known.
You got to be a quick thinker though, because I think your initial reaction is to be like, oh, fuck.
Yes.
I'm busted.
Yeah.
And then you can't. Once you put on that face, people know. And the girl, I saw a little interview with the girl who actually recorded, because she recorded it with her phone off the kiss cam. Yeah, that's where it came from. And she was like, I just got all this I have to say to you is play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Like, she had no empathy, no sympathy for anything.
That sucks.
But
well,
I mean,
That's what you get for going to a Coldplay concert, I guess.
I thought you were a Coldplay guy.
No, quite the opposite.
Really? Okay, because I like a couple songs from Coldplay. God Put a Smile on You. I like that song.
I'm not here to stop you from enjoying something.
I like that song. But you don't like Coldplay? Weren't they like the Millennium Beatles or so they called them?
I think you're talking about Oasis, buddy.
Oh, am I confusing? They kind of sound
the
same,
right? He likes Oasis, yeah.
I like Oasis, yeah. Oh, okay. Oasis doesn't suck, man. I've been telling you this since I was fucking keeping my CD from getting stolen in Pittsburgh, dude.
It's true.
Oh, I don't have anything against Oasis.
Like 99.
Yeah, man. Fucking
Why
Oasis
don't you – what's the hold up of Coldplay? What don't you like about them?
I find their songs a little like obvious, if that makes sense. Like it just never connected with me. I'm always just like, I can't perform this, but I can write this.
Really? You know what I mean? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about Coldplay.
By the numbers, you're saying.
For me. And I have gotten a lot of pushback over the years from people who are like, oh, Coldplay's fucking awesome and stuff and blah, blah, blah. I've just never connected with their music.
Now, are they the two brothers who are always fighting?
That's Oasis.
Oh, fuck, man. Do a lot of people confuse Oasis and Coldplay?
This is the first time I've heard it. I can't imagine that it's, you know, that it's not, that it hasn't happened.
Okay, because I just think, when I think of those two bands, I kind of
conflate them.
Like almost the like thing. Oasis play. Like they're just like one big band.
No, Oasis is like grittier and like more blue collar working class type.
Brian just rolled his eyes when you used the word gritty to
I'm talking about
Oasis.
I'm talking about on the ceiling.
I'm talking about in comparison to Coldplay.
Okay.
You know. And also they are grittier than
I saw comments where, like, can you imagine finding out your husband likes Coldplay this way? A lot of comments like that.
Yeah. Oh, so it's kind of like you'd kind of be looked it's as an insult to say you like Coldplay.
No, I think they're a very popular band.
Is it like Nickelback? When people make fun of people who like Nickelback?
See, here's the truth: I would probably like Nickelback songs more than Coldplay. Oh. People love Coldplay.
I'm one of those people. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I like that one song. But now I'm going to defend them like to my last
breath. I don't want
to
shit.
I thought it was funny. This guy, this CEO of the company, he was with the HR. I mean, everything about it is just awesome. It's the CEO of the company with the HR lady.
Breaking a lot of rules. Yeah,
I mean, you're really like fucking saying fuck you to everybody in the company.
But it's Coldplay, baby. Who gives a shit? Let's party.
But he came forward and he issued an apology and a statement and all this stuff. And I'm like, I wouldn't say a goddamn word. It's like, it's not like it was like, say, J-Lo and Ben got caught cheating or something like that. It's like, it's just some guy.
No, I heard this was a big wig. I heard this was
he's a CEO of a big company for
like
sure, a big tech company.
The fourth largest tech company on the planet or something like that.
Oh, is it really that big? Okay.
I think he's a fucking mover and shaker in the industry. And again, like you said, though, when you have an HR department and you fucking get caught doing that, but you're going to hold your employees to
these
standards.
People's feet to the fire, yeah.
Maybe you've even fired some of these people but you're too big to follow the rules. Guess
society,
what?
Man.
Yeah, it's like it's one of those things where like you don't really have a dog in the fight, but you still enjoy
watching
it.
That's why I fucking love Coldplay, man. Coldplay fucking put it – truth to power or like fuck you and your fucking rules. That's what Coldplay does. They don't follow the rules.
I would love for you to listen to a Coldplay album beginning to end and give me your review. Would you do that for me? Would you try it and see how far you can get?
I own a Coldplay album. It has that song on it, God Put a Smile on Your Face. It's the only track I listen to, but that doesn't mean I don't love the other tracks, though, because I do.
I'll give a listen to it. I'll listen to
their
the album.
Coldplay is punk. That's what they did right
they are
there.
Not punk.
That's what they did
guy,
right
this
there.
Is the guy that fucking consciously uncoupled from fucking what's her name. I don't know the guy. I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he comes off his very humorous.
Noel Gallagher.
And self-serious.
Right? Noel Gallagher's the dude?
No! That's Oasis!
Yeah, that's the other guy. Noel and Liam.
Chris Martin? Chris something?
Chris Martin, I think you're right.
Yeah. Who's Noel Gallagher then? That's Coldplay, a guy, I think. I don't know what
Liam
I'm talking
and Noel
about.
Gallagher are the brothers in Oasis.
But I love the fact that they just take down fucking multi-billionaires like that.
They don't.
Some girl
Oasis
did.
Will.
Yeah, but with Coldplay's fucking permission.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
Coldplay called him out. The guy called him out. He was like, they're either really shy or they're having an affair. Yeah. And he was right.
Oh, man. Coldplay's been out. Like, they reformed for this tour, right?
I have no fucking. Oh, Oasis did. Oasis did. Yes. Dude, I think you just like Oasis. I don't think you know a single Coldplay song, dude.
Tell him, Steve Dave. I think you're right. I don't know what I'm talking about.